Stay tuned now for Dr. Stephen Zelikoff and a program you will not want to miss. Bone Talk. That's Bone Talk with Dr. Stephen Zelikoff on 1460 WVOX.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Dr. Stephen Zelikoff, and welcome to another episode of Bone Talk. Happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners, and happy holidays to all. Today, we're very fortunate to have Alexandra Kaplan Corwin, who is our guest. Alexandra Corwin is a registered dietitian nutritionist with specialties in weight management, diabetes, and pediatrics. She has a private practice in Westchester and works with people virtually. If you want to reach out to Alex, her website's nutrition-core.com. And you can also follow her on Instagram at corenutrition_Alex. Alex, welcome to Bone Talk, and thanks so much for coming. You were on our show a while back, but we're thrilled to have you back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
So this is probably the most exciting time of the year to have somebody with expertise in nutrition, because we're all sort of coming into the holiday season. This is a time of the year that we all like to treat and we all like to eat a lot, and we have lots of opportunities to eat really good food, but also food that may not be all that good for us. And some of those things, unfortunately, don't just affect our waistline, but they can all affect our overall health. Our topic today is really going to be trying to focus primarily on the role of nutrition in bone health, and we're going to talk a little bit about the role of bone health, both in things like osteoporosis, bone structure, but also and how it impacts arthritis. So again, thank you, and tell us a little bit about you and your practice, Alex.
So I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist, as you said. I have a practice in Westchester. I see many people from actually all over because I can see people virtually, and it's been really great and effective for so many people. I treat weight management. I see people who have diabetes. I see kids. I see people who want to lower their cholesterol. I see people who have osteoporosis who want to work on their bone health and arthritis. So it's really, you know, I love what I do. And, you know, it's definitely a great time of year to talk about all these nutrition-related topics.
So, and you also have an Instagram account. I'm just throwing that out there because, and it's at @CoreNutrition_Alex.
Yes,
and it's an incredible source of information. It really is. You do an incredible job with it.
Thank you. I try and put out nutrition tips, new food products, and talk about the nutrition facts. And I just try and give people different information about nutrition.
Now, tell us a little bit about bone health in terms of the nutrients that are important for bone health.
Mm-hmm. So, obviously, everyone talks about calcium and vitamin D that are very important for bone health, and we can definitely discuss those nutrients. Some other nutrients that people don't always know about are things like protein, magnesium, phosphorus, and even potassium that are super important for strengthening bones. And you can get a lot of those nutrients from food, and the best way to do it is to get it from food. You know, the most important nutrients to focus on for bone health are calcium and vitamin D.
Oh, absolutely. And it's sort of interesting because it's something, and I'd love your input on this thing, but, you know, a lot of times people will go to see to a health food store and they buy vitamins. And
right.
The bioavailability, the absorption that actually people get of a lot of their vitamins through a lot of these supplements really isn't anywhere as good as the stuff that you get from food. So, I mean, could you speak to us a little bit about that?
Definitely. So especially with calcium, it is possible to get enough calcium through your diet, even if you don't eat dairy products. There has been a few studies that have shown that calcium supplements can lead to an increased risk of kidney stones and even impact your heart health. So I always prefer with calcium for people to get their nutrients from food, unless your doctor, for whatever reason, in terms of your health status, recommends a supplement. It is possible to get it from food. And like you said, you know, even a cup, one cup of bok choy, for example, technically has less calcium than one cup of whole milk, but the bioavailability of that calcium in the bok choy is almost just as equivalent to drinking a cup of whole milk. So it's possible to do it even in a vegetarian sort of way. There are fortified plant-based milks like almond milk and oat milk. There are non-dairy alternatives to getting calcium. You know, one cup of cow's milk has about 300 milligrams of calcium, but you can get just as much, if not more, with a fortified plant-based milk. You just have to make sure those plant-based milks are fortified with calcium, because sometimes they are not.
Now, it's interesting that you say that. I mean, but one of the things about calcium and about nutrition and wellness in general is that people start thinking that as I get older, I need to take better care of my body. And I think that one of the challenges that people lose sight of is that with calcium particularly is just the concept of the bone bank, where you keep depositing calcium until you're in your 30s to 40s. And then as a woman particularly, at some point you start withdrawing from that bank. And depending on how much you had in there at the beginning, it's going to depend on how you do afterwards in terms of fragility fractures and osteoporosis and other things. So how much calcium do people need in general? And when should they start sort of loading up on calcium? It should be like when you're younger, should it be in your middle age area, when you're older. How should the people think about that?
Really as early as possible, because like you say, you can absorb so much of it, and you build up the strength of your bones at a younger age. So for people with kids, you want to make sure your kids are getting enough calcium, really at all ages. For adults, the recommended amount is anywhere between 800 and 1,000 milligrams of calcium. For kids, you know, somewhere between 400 and 600 milligrams of calcium. So as early as you can, make sure you are getting enough calcium so that you can start to build that bone bank, as you said.
Now, people talk about calcium, and obviously, like, also women that are breastfeeding or that are pregnant also need a higher level of calcium. So that's something else to sort of think about. And at that point, there's only so much milk that you can drink. And I think that's really where a lot of those dietary supplements also come into play that can definitely help out.
Right. You just want to be careful and talk to your doctor about it.
Now, along with calcium is vitamin D. Tell us a little about vitamin D and what its role is in terms of calcium absorption, and how much do you need?
Yeah, so vitamin D is a hot topic because it, you know, plays a role in many disease processes. We're still learning more and more about the effects of vitamin D. Often people are low in vitamin D. It's hard to get enough from your diet. But the importance of vitamin D is that it's necessary for calcium absorption in your body to maintain your bone strength. So if you have enough calcium but not enough vitamin D, you know, that's not going to be good enough for your bones. So most people, the recommended amount is somewhere between 600, 800 IUs of vitamin D. If you are low, you may want to take a vitamin D supplement. There are sources that you can get from food, like, you know, wild-caught salmon has some vitamin D, canned sardines has vitamin D, egg yolks has vitamin D, and then also the milk and the plant-based milks are a great source of vitamin D as long as they are fortified with vitamin D. And even wild mushrooms has some vitamin D as well.
Now, milk, it's got a lot of good things about it. Some people just don't like the taste of it. But is milk good for you in terms of, I mean, obviously for the vitamin D, but I know that people talk about the fact that milk got downside in terms of your cholesterol and your fat and other things. I mean, what do you tell your patients when they ask you about that?
Right. It's a very good question. And it's my answer is always very individual. It's based on the person. Some people do not want to drink cow's milk. Some people cannot tolerate cow's milk from a lactose standpoint. You know, we thought dairy fat raised cholesterol. Then more recent studies were showing that it doesn't raise cholesterol. It definitely doesn't help lower cholesterol. cholesterol. So it's not something that's necessary to have, but a great option if you don't want to have the cow's milk is to substitute with plant-based milks. Just make sure they're fortified with the calcium and vitamin D, so at least you are getting benefits from that.
And also, don't forget to go outside and get some sunlight.
Right.
Because that's, you know, that also, although you got to make sure you put sunscreen on. I always want to remind everybody. Because clearly, I mean, I think that that's also important. And when you think about osteoporosis, besides the sunlight, it's also going out for a walk, because the impact loading on your skeleton, on your body, also has a big focus in terms of keeping your bone health as well. You got to move it to keep it. So it's important to sort of stay out there and stay active.
So if people
are deficient in calcium, or they're being told that they have osteoporosis and they've been worked up with a DEXA scan or a bone mineral density, and they're told that they need calcium supplements, do you have any recommendations in terms of what they should take?
I think it depends. That depends. That's very, like, specific based on the person, depends on the doctor. I like the brand Nature Made because, you know, with supplements, you never really know what's in them, but they have an agency that sort of supervises what is in the vitamins. But it, you have to sort of listen to your doctor in terms of how much to take for that. And for someone, for a healthy person, you know, I would look to get it from foods if you can.
So that's a great point. I mean, because I mentioned earlier, I think the absorption also changes a lot by, you know, the way that your GI system works. And some people tolerate CitraCal better, which is calcium citrate, as opposed to other types of calcium. So I think it's very important that you speak to your doctor about that. And again, you know, really when you're young is when you should be out there making sure you have a well-balanced diet. So transitioning from osteoporosis and calcium and vitamin D to arthritis. Arthritis is a very common issue that, you know, millions of Americans deal with, and it varies all the way from mild joint aches and stiffness all the way to debilitating arthritis with inflammatory changes and bone-on-bone that need surgery. Many times patients will go ahead and come in. The first line is that they see a doctor, and they're told that they should be taking various medications, anti-inflammatories, things like Naprosyn and Advil and things of that nature. But there are things that you can take that are food-based that can fight inflammation. And there's a whole school of thought looking at things which are not drug-based that can help in terms of managing patients' symptoms, both the supplements and various foods. So I'm so excited that you can talk, and I also would like to, again, just announce you. You're Alexandra Corwin, registered dietitian, nutritionist, fabulous practice in Westchester. Her patients love her, and you can reach her at nutrition-core.com, and you can email her at alex.corenutrition@gmail.com. And her phone number, if you want to call Alex, is 914-772-1101. And again, we're on the phone today with Alexandra Kaplan Corwin, talking to us about the role of nutrition in preventing and managing arthritis. So, Alex, tell us a little bit about your thoughts.
Yeah, so there's so much you can do in terms of the food you put into your body to help fight inflammation in your body and help improve the symptoms of arthritis. So, you know, one of the biggest, most, you know, common foods and nutrients people talk about are omega-3 fatty acids. And these have been shown to reduce inflammation in the body by decreasing the production of some enzymes that wear down the cartilage, and it can help improve the symptoms. So the best sources of omega-3s are fatty fish like salmon, herring, mackerel, even sardines. Those contain those foods, especially the wild salmon, if you can get that. But even if you can't, it's beneficial to have salmon because they're, you know, the salmon is loaded with the omega-3s that can help fight inflammation. And that's a very, as we talk about, like, bioavailable source of omega-3s. There are also plant-based sources of omega-3s. Foods like walnuts, ground flaxseed, chia seeds, pumpkin seeds, these are a plant-based version. If you don't eat fish, ways to get in your omega-3s that can help reduce the inflammation in your body.
Now, how much do you have to eat? I mean, how many pieces of salmon a week do I have to go ahead and eat to get the amount of omega-3s to help me?
Typically, I recommend 2 servings a week. Not everyone can do that. So, you know, if you can't do that, you can try and regularly add walnuts and ground flaxseed to your diet, chia seeds. Those are also great sources of omega-3s.
Now, when I'm preparing my salmon, does it matter if I'm eating it as sushi? Does it matter if I grill it, if I bake it, if I roast it? Is there anything that the preparation impacts the bioavailability of the omega-3 fatty acids?
No, not really. Though, you know, you can enjoy it in different ways. However you prefer to eat it, that's the way you're going to be more likely to eat it. So that's what I would recommend, whichever way you like the best.
Okay, that's good to know. So you can grill it, you can do whatever makes you happy with it, just as long as you have it on a regular basis.
Correct.
So what other foods that you recommend that fight inflammation?
Okay, so extra virgin olive oil has a ton of natural anti-inflammatory agents in it. That's a great thing to add onto your salad as a salad dressing. And then we have antioxidant-rich foods. So antioxidant-rich fruits and vegetables also help to reduce the inflammation in your body. So fruits like strawberries, tart cherries, blackberries, raspberries, blueberries, these are all great sources, you know, of antioxidants, and lots of different vegetables. All fruits and vegetables have antioxidants in them, but those fruits typically have the highest levels. But vegetables, there's spinach, there's broccoli, there's kale, cauliflower. You know, it's great to consume a variety so that you are obtaining a variety of nutrients as well.
So eat things with different colors, basically.
Definitely.
Now, tell us, now, when you talk about, like, these things helping to fight inflammation, say I'm feeling pretty good, and all of a sudden I start developing some knee pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go see Alex Corwin, nutritionist, and she says, take this stuff. How long do I have to eat salmon before I can anticipate that my knee's going to feel better? What's the
that's
time where you usually see? Because that's the question.
Yeah.
That when people come in, it's like, how long do I need to switch my diet before I can actually start seeing an actual change in the way I feel?
So I would say typically a few months, you would probably feel better. You know, if you look at cholesterol numbers changing from foods that you eat in your diet, with my patients, I typically see in a few months, they can make a significant difference in their cholesterol levels, in their blood sugar levels. So I think it's sort of the same thing with this. You want to work toward incorporating it into your lifestyle long term to continue to get the benefits of these great foods and nutrients.
Now, I happen to love salmon, and I love nuts and fruits and vegetables, but I love grains and pasta. So tell us about the role of grains in this as well.
Okay, so it is better to consume whole grains, so like things like brown rice, quinoa, farro, starches basically that have fiber are going to help to lower inflammation rather than increase inflammation. The white products, white bread, white pasta, white rice have been shown to increase inflammation. You still want to watch the portions of all these foods in general, but what a great swap would be to go from white rice to brown rice or to quinoa or to farro. You're going to get more nutrients from these foods.
And there's been a lot of talk about using various types of spices. The big thing that patients will commonly come in with me, they talk about turmeric as the new golden thing that people are supposed to be taking for helping with arthritis.
Right. So definitely great to get in the spices into your foods. Garlic, ginger, cinnamon, turmeric. Turmeric has become a popular supplement that people take as well, which, you know, I have seeing that it can be helpful with patients. Again, you have to speak to your doctor or a dietitian that you're working with who can really look at your full medical history and medications you're taking to make sure there are no interactions. But that is definitely a strong anti-inflammatory spice and supplement.
Well, that's the curcumin, I guess, in the product. Now, the question is that things in foods with curry, for instance, that's cholesterol. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of turmeric in it, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So do you recommend, like, people have more, like, curry-type foods to help with inflammatory stuff or no?
Sometimes it can be incorporated into your diet. It's not something you have to have all the time. I would get a variety of these different foods that we're discussing, but it's definitely something you could try.
Now, garlic, I heard that a garlic diet was really good for weight loss because you smell terrible. People stand far away, and from far away you look thin. But I know that you did mention garlic as a thing. Now, garlic, you can take it as a supplement so you don't have to have the garlic breath. I would take it.
Yes, but garlic is an easy spice. You know, you can use it as, you can use whole garlic, or you can even use garlic powder to flavor your food, and I promise you, you won't smell like garlic.
Now, what about weight loss? We're coming into the holidays. What tips do you have for people to sort of contain their weight, and also the impact of weight on arthritis? I mean, there's data to show that every extra 10 pounds that you carry, your knees and your hips see 40. So there's a 4-to-1 ratio in terms of the biomechanical loads on your joints. So, you know, we try to tell people to lose 5-10 pounds, which is really hard. I mean, I've tried to take 5 pounds off, and it's really difficult, mostly because I really like food, but I'm not eating the right stuff, and I should probably come and see you. but my question is that what do you recommend for our listeners for weight loss? And also what to look for in the holiday season that's coming up right now.
Right. So many people gain weight during the holiday season. They say typically 3 to 5 pounds. The key is to keep the indulgent meals to just that holiday meal. So enjoy Thanksgiving. Try and listen to your hunger cues and stop eating when you're lightly full. And then the next day, get rid of the leftovers, give them away, and then go back to your normal, healthy way of eating with all these nutritious foods. If you're only indulging on Thanksgiving Day, maybe Christmas Day or something like that, it's not going to cause you to gain weight. But when you're getting baskets of cookies and things like that for the holidays, that's what makes the holiday season so challenging and causes a lot of the weight gain. So just being aware of portion controlling and when you're indulging in those foods and overall keeping, you know, a healthy lifestyle and trying to choose when you want to indulge and enjoy it and then move on back to a healthy lifestyle.
Well, that's great information. I mean, I think that's one of the challenges we all run into. And I think just giving away those cookies and whenever possible and then sort of staying away from that. And again, portion control, obviously, is the biggest thing. Exercise, obviously, also is something that can help as well. And a scale. I think that one of the things that I found with my patients, particularly that are heavier, is that you ask people, when was the last time they weighed themselves? And they say, well, I might weigh myself 4 or 5 months ago. And I think weighing yourself on a daily basis or every other day so that you don't have big surprises. You never put on 10 pounds in a day. I mean, usually what will happen is that you may put on a half a pound. It's like, oh, my gosh, I got to be good today. So I think that it's maintaining a sense of getting reality checks on a regular basis as to, like, when you need to sort of, you know, sort of take a step back in terms of food. Now, there's also, I mean, people talk about the Mediterranean diet as being good for arthritis. And basically all the things that you mentioned today is really that Mediterranean diet. Is that something that at this point you just sort of recommend people try to do to help with the arthritis and with heart health in general?
You know, I never put anyone on a quote-unquote diet because it really, the best plan has to work with their lifestyle. So it's never 100% the Mediterranean diet or this or that. I really work with people where they are. I try to meet them where they are and make changes, because some people refuse to eat salmon, and I would never force anyone to do that. But I think the benefit of working with a dietitian nutritionist is that they can customize a plan for you that can be realistic and work to sort of balance all your medical needs, your medical history, and your lifestyle, and et cetera.
That's one of us. It's funny because it's sort of like, you know, I enjoy golf, and it's like the worst thing in the world when your golf pro tries to change too many things all at the same time, because you kind of lose interest and you can't focus on it. So I think if you can probably try to change one thing and get people to focus on one or two different things to get their lives healthier, I think that makes a big difference. Now, what happens, I mean, one of the things that also can create problems with arthritis is things that increase your uric acid, like steak and red meat and things like that. Do you tell people with arthritis to stay away from those, or is it mostly just portion control?
It's mostly portion control. It's hard to completely avoid certain foods, but it honestly depends on the person. For some people, they don't need to have red meat, and then they are totally fine not having red meat, and then that's an easy, you know, way to decrease it. It sort of just depends on the person, you know, and where they are. They don't have to completely avoid it, but we can always work on lowering foods that have it.
So in the last couple of minutes that we have, again, I'd like to thank Alexandra Kaplan-Corwin for joining us today. You can reach Alex Corwin at 914-772-1101 or at nutrition-core.com. Or on her Instagram account at corenutrition_Alex. So once again, Alex, thank you so much for joining us on Bone Talk. Everybody have a wonderful Thanksgiving and a very happy holiday season. I'm Steve Zelikoff, and thanks again for listening to Bone Talk.